As you're seated, get your Bibles out and open to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And as you are turning, I want to make sure that everybody received two of the charts tonight. And you were supposed to get two because they are two different charts. So one is 2 Corinthians, one is Matthew. If you did not get one or either, if you will hold up your hand. If you did not get 2 Corinthians, hold up a number 2. And if you did not get Matthew, hold up a number 1. Okay, if you did not get either, thank you, Jeff. Hold up both hands. So looks like the praise team and the choir did not get either. So, thank you for serving, Chuck. We appreciate you so much. All right, so make sure everybody gets one. All right, and you are, in the meantime, unless you have both hands held up, you are turning to 2 Corinthians. All right, a number one. Who has Matthew? Who had Matthew? We got some ones. All right, over here, and then some ones in the back. So as y'all are sorting all that out, I'm going to let you know that we're going to try something new tonight. It's not so new. You've seen me do this before, but in a little bit different way. So we're going to plug this in. And I just want to say thank you to Casey. We decided we were going to do this Monday, and he has spent many an hour just so that you can see what I'm doing right now. So hopefully it works. If not, it's not his fault. It's mine. So I'll take the blame. All right, everybody. So I got one, still somebody over here that needs a 1 and a 2. All right, just keep your hand raised because I got to get started or we're never going to get finished tonight. And you know how I like to finish early and on time, so. What? What are y'all laughing at? All right. Oops. Okay, so we have been walking through how people change, and I have given you literally 20 weeks of this chart, okay? And so we have been talking about your circumstances, your situations, the thorns in your life, how those thorns are not because of your circumstance, your situation, but they are because of your heart. What are the consequences of those thorns? How do we get from a heart that produces thorns through the cross, through the gospel, to a changing of a heart that produces fruit, what that fruit looks like, and the consequences of that fruit. But what we're going to do tonight is something that may be familiar. As I was going through this, we may have done this, but not in this way, and so it'll be good to go back and do it again anyway, even if we have done it. But we're going to walk through this chart as we look at Scripture, specifically in 2 Corinthians, the life of Paul, or a section of the life of Paul. And then we're going to go to Matthew 18 and look at a parable that Jesus talked about. And we're just going to see how all of these are there. Now remember, the chart is not the end in and of itself. All right, the chart helps us get to the end so that we are being sanctified, we are changing. We know that God is working in us to change us to be more like Christ. This is the process. There's other ways to explain it. But this was a good one, and I want to give you this chart. Then next week, we're going to come back, and I'm actually going to talk about maybe specific things that you may deal with, maybe specific things that you don't deal with. I'm just going to pick a couple of thorns, and we're going to go down and talk about the heart issue, and we're going to go through this chart again. The youth will be in here next week, so I'm one of the things that I'm going to talk about, not just because the youth are in here, but this is something that is prevalent in our society, and you may know of someone who is struggling with this, or you may know of someone who knows of someone and they want some help in helping someone. You may need to counsel someone or whatever. But one of the thorns that I'm going to talk about is pornography next week. And so we're going to walk through this chart and see what that root is, how that works, what are the consequences, how we can help someone move from a heart trusting through Christ to a heart that produces fruit that is right. Sex is good, but not in the context of viewing it on a screen somewhere. And so just wanted to make you aware of that in case you wanted to let someone else know about that. Okay, we up here? Good. All right, you're going to see everything that I do. But what I want to do is go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. And I want you to be thinking about this as we walk through this so that you can help me with the answers. We're going to do a lot of interaction tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God. I'm going to read quick because we're going to go back through this. All right. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in many affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for our comfort. It is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. We do not want you to become unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand, and I hope you will fully understand, just as you did partially understand us, that on the day of the Lord Jesus you will boast of us as we will boast in you. Because I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first so that you might have a second experience of grace. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it was always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. All right, so we're going to walk through this step by step, and you can ride along with me, which will help you when you go back to your notes. Okay, so the first thing that we want to ask, and there's the question there, is what is Paul's situation? Remember, we talked about heat and dew. All that is your situation. We described the heat as difficult times. We talked about the dew as being maybe the blessings, the things in our life we consider going right or they're going good. Maybe we get a raise instead of we get fired or something like that. And so what was Paul's situation? What was his dew? Let's talk about that. What was something that was going on in Paul's life that was encouraging? So I'm going to just start this process to get the juices flowing because the dew may be a little bit hard here, right? Paul says that he was comforted, right? And so he was being comforted. Well, that's a good thing. And so this is the circumstance and the situation. So if you want to say, okay, what is the good blessing, then it's going to be that Paul was comforted. And you find that in verse 6, if you want to put that out there. All right, but the focus here is really on Paul's challenges, on Paul in his circumstances that are hard and difficult. So this is a little bit easier. What is Paul's difficulty? What is his heat in this situation or in these verses? What's happening? He's suffering. Specifically, how? Look at verse 8. Does that help? There we go, afflictions in Asia. What's Paul doing? What's he doing? Yes, he's on a missionary journey. He's sharing the gospel. And what's happening to him? He is suffering affliction. And he gives a specific, instance. He says, you need to know, you're unaware, I want you to be aware of our affliction in Asia. And so as we were doing this missionary journey, we're taking the gospel, we suffered great affliction. All right? There's something else in here. It's towards the end. Let me just go ahead and give you this. That was verse 8, by the way, afflictions in Asia. All right, let me give you another one that is a little more subtle. Did you notice at the end that Paul is saying, well, we said we were coming. Did I make my plans by man? Am I saying yes and no and meaning the same thing? Paul is defending himself to the church at Corinth because he is saying, listen, I want to come to Corinth. But he's explaining that while he was in Asia, he had these great afflictions and God prevented him from coming. Well, the reason he's having to explain that, you know why he's having to explain that? Because the Corinthians are saying, now listen, Paul, you said you were coming. Why aren't you here? You haven't come and visited us yet. So the affliction is, and this is one we can really relate to, is that Paul is having to deal with the expectation of others that has been placed upon him. And so if you look in verses 15 through 18, all right, there are these expectations, and he's defending against those expectations. You ever had expectations of others on you? People having expectations that you can't meet, and they're mad because you can't meet those expectations? That's heat. It happens a lot of times to us. All right, verses 15 through 18, Paul is experiencing that. Paul, why aren't you here? You said you were going to be here. But they don't know what's going on in Paul's life, and so they have written him a letter, and it hasn't been a very nice letter. So this is what Paul's going through, the Apostle Paul. All right, so when you drop down, now we're going to move, if I can do this, there we go. Okay, we're going to move down into the thorns here. What behaviors did or could have resulted from what Paul wanted and believed in his heart? Now, this is somewhat of an encouragement to me. We obviously aren't going to celebrate that Paul had thorns in his life, but it is good because we put Paul on a pedestal and think that there's nothing wrong with all these heroes of the faith. But what was Paul? What does Paul tell us that were some thorns here? Verse 9. Verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Right? Verse 8. Sorry. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Paul was in despair. All right, we think we're going to die, and there is an issue here. All right, and then he says, fear of death. There he says, we think we had been given the sentence of death, and he's despairing. All right, other possible, not necessarily what Paul did, but other possible thorns that could have come up because of his affliction. Discouragement, that's a good one. Paul could have easily been discouraged. I mean, here I am and I'm going out to do the work of the Lord. I'm sharing the gospel and this happens and this happens and this happens and this happens. I've given my word to Corinth that I'm coming and I want to come and this happens and this happens and this happens. God, what in the world is going on? Have you left me? Can you imagine Paul's discouragement? He could have been discouraged. I'm not saying he was, but he could have been. All right, so now think about what happens if Paul is in despair, he's fearing death, and there is discouragement in his life. What would be some of the possible consequences, upper left here, what would be some of the possible consequences that could have occurred? Excellent. Quit. Right? Give up. So here is a situation. These thorns, thorns are saying, listen, there's despair here. There's discouragement. I want to give up. And Paul then would have not had a successful ministry. His ministry would have been short, right? So that would have resulted in no gospel ministry for Paul going into these places. Guess what else? In verse 11, what does he say? You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. If Paul would have just given up, Paul would have said no, then there wouldn't have been an opportunity for people to give thanks to God for what he was doing. If Paul wouldn't have waited on God to do his work, so then what you see is this cycle of these thorns. It's not just what happens in your life. It has effects on other things. So no thanks to God for what he did, because if Paul would have given up early. All right, so we're examining Paul's life. There's affliction, but what do we know about Paul? Paul trusts the Lord, right? There we are. All right, however, we want to know what would be the root that would cause these thorns. It's not the fact that he is being afflicted. That's not what causes him to give up. That's not what causes him to despair. So what we want to say is, listen, I know that the thorns are there and I recognize the thorns, but I've got to go deeper into the heart. What would possibly be the heart issue? Based on this situation, what could Paul have wanted? Remember, wrong desires and wrong beliefs. What could Paul possibly have wanted and believed in his heart that would have produced these thorns? Say it. Okay, I'm not going to write this one out, but the belief that being a Christian means no trouble. So I'm just going to write no trouble for Christians. That's what you meant, right? Okay, thank you. No trouble for Christians, okay? If you're a Christian, then everything should just go smoothly. And if that's Paul's expectation, that's Paul's belief, then yes, when he meets affliction, he's in trouble. Hello, does that sound familiar today? Anybody preach that? Are there people that believe that? And they get confused and they get discouraged, and what do? They walk out of the church. They give up because they have a wrong belief. All right, what else might? Say again? Doubting God's goodness. God will not provide, right? That could be a belief. God will not or cannot provide or deliver or doesn't want to or whatever it is. You have a false belief that God is distant. He's not engaged in my life. All right. What about verse 12? Anything there that Paul could have been counting on? Not specifically, but maybe. The verse is not saying that he did. Actually, it says that he doesn't. Earthly or his own, trust in himself, earthly wisdom. Right? So if Paul would have been using earthly wisdom and diagnosing the situation, what does earthly wisdom say when you have evil in your life? Well, there's no God. Because if there's a God, you wouldn't be suffering like that. And so are these false beliefs, maybe even false desires. What if Paul wanted a ministry that was very public and popular instead of one that was neglected? So he has this false desire to be out in the spotlight, because that could be a false desire. All of those things, either false desires that he wants or false beliefs that he has, could be the root of producing these fruits. It's the reason. Can y'all even see that? Yes, you can. Okay, I can't see it on the back. The reason for the thorns being produced, why he would be discouraged, why he would be fearful. Because if God doesn't provide and I'm in this situation, then I am very fearful, because who is going to provide? Who's going to take care of me? All right? So that's the left half. We've got We've got issues. We probably can identify with this, not necessarily because we're going to through the afflictions that Paul went through, but you can see some of these thorns in your own life. Despair, fear, discouragement, and they will cause you to give up. And that's there are consequences to that. It's not just that, oh, I'm giving up here in my bedroom and nothing happens because of that. Despair and discouragement and giving up. If you are a parent, it affects your children. If you give up and they know at work, you claim to claim Christ and you've thrown your hands in the air, man, it has effects. There are consequences to that. There are consequences in your own life to giving up. So what we want to do is not be in that cycle of these consequences. We don't want to produce these thorns. So we go to the heart of the problem and we begin to say, what is it that I believe that is a false belief as revealed in God's word? What is it, a desire, a wrong desire that I have in my heart that is driving these thorns? And when we discover that, what is the first thing that we do? Repent. Two words. Repent. And what's the other word I'm going to give you? Faith. Repent and faith. Yes, repent by faith leads to confession. That's the next thing, right? So repentance and faith. Well, why would we do that? What's going to drive me to go back to God and repent? What's going to drive me to trust Him? The cross, the gospel. That is the core of everything that we do. So we come down here to the cross and we ask this question on the bottom. In relation to this situation, who is God and what has He done in Christ to provide for us? On the other chart, there's a different question and I can't recall it. Whoops, right now. There we go. And moving up. Okay, so here it is. The work of the Spirit, the streams of grace. What do we know about God that jumps out of here? This is Paul's whole purpose, by the way, to get us to here. He's telling the Corinthians, this is what I want you to know, and I'm showing you in my life that it works because I've been through affliction, despairing unto death, could have possibly given up, but I did not. Because why? Tell me why Paul didn't give up. He tells us. Say again? God's grace, yes. But that's like talking to the four-year-olds and saying, what's the answer? And they all say Jesus. You can say grace about anything. Give me specific grace that is in these verses. Love, okay. What verse? Ah, now you're just giving me answers. I want biblical answers. What does Paul say that he is counting on? What verse? Okay, God is faithful. Ah, thank you. That's the one that jumps off the page. What was verse 18 on that one? And then God comforts. What verse? Like, pick one, it's all throughout there, right? Verse 4, 3 and 4, right? Father, why, do you think Paul just says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, or excuse me, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. You think he just was like, you know what, I need a new introduction for God. I think I'll just put God of all mercies and comfort. Is that why he did that? Why did he start off with the God of all mercies and God and comfort? Yeah, because he's experienced it and he wants to say the God of all comfort and mercy, by the God of all mercy and comfort, is the one that you can trust in. And you know, I'm an example because I've walked through this and I've suffered affliction, but God is faithful because he's a God of comfort. All right, what else? How about verse 9? What does God do? What did Paul said, we're despairing unto death, but who can I trust in? Verse 9. Who what? Raises the dead. Do you think that's going to change your outlook if you're despairing unto death? All right, we've talked about this, the hope. Well, where does that hope come from? Does God just go, okay, you don't have to die? How does that comfort you if you don't know God? Where does that comfort come from? right through the cross, right? Eternal life. That's the one that we hang on to as Christians and Baptists, right? John 3:16, you get eternal life. He raises you from the dead, right? So power to raise the dead. That is in the cross. When you have put your faith and trust in Christ, you get in a situation where there's affliction, even unto death. You look back to the cross and you know, I don't have to fear death. Death was defeated on the cross. All right, what about, well, okay, give me, what is it? Verse 19. Okay. God's promises, y'all have heard me say this over and over and over, are always, and actually all God's promises are always yes. Wait a minute, what's the caveat? Huh? Ah, we're back to the gospel. How are all of God's promises yours to claim? Because Christ, all the work was done. You don't go to God and say, look, look at how good, look at how hard I'm working. I'm in the midst of these afflictions. You have got to have mercy and grace on me because I am doing such a great job. That is not why all God's promises are yes in your efforts. All God's promises are yes towards you. Everything in here is yours to claim because of the work of Christ. It is at the cross. What verse was that again, Don? Thank you. 20? All right. Oh, watch this. Boop, boop. 20. Close enough. All right. All right, a couple more. Verse 21, we are established in Christ. Verse 22, we are sealed with His Spirit. Look at all that we have because of the gospel, because of the work of Christ on the cross. That's streams of grace. It's just pouring out for tonight if you are discouraged and you are in despair, regardless of the reason. Your circumstance may be different than Paul's, but guess what? Your thorns may be the same. Your heart issue may be the same. Guess what? The answer is the same. It's right there at the cross. All right? Verse 19 through 22, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, was not yes and no, but in Him it is always yes, for all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory, and it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. You can write verse 19 through 22 right there on the cross. Paul is saying, here's what's going on. Let me tell you what the answer is. What Jesus did on the cross for you. That is the answer. That's how you get your heart from discouragement and despair over into believing and putting your trust in God. Because you look at the cross and see everything that He has given us and promised us in Christ. He sealed us with the Spirit. He's the God who raised. All of those things come right out of the cross, right? All right, so now I can trust God. Right? Verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us. Wait. We were in affliction to make me do something? God actually put me in this affliction to make me do something? What was it that God made me do through these circumstances? Rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Trust me, Paul. I'm putting you in this situation to test you and to pull off the thorns and to reveal your heart so that you will not trust yourself, but so that you will trust me. There's the faith. And then verse 10. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope. So not only our faith, but now our hope is in Him. So I'm not trusting in earthly wisdom. I'm not believing that God will not provide. I don't have this false belief that Christians have an easy life. what I've realized is that Christians don't have an easy life because God wants me to trust in Him. And in the midst of that, He even comforts me so that He can direct me towards faith in Him. And so now when I'm in affliction, where's my hope? In the God who comforts. Guess what, Corinthians? That's where your hope should be. Guess what, faith family? Your hope should be in a God who comforts. And you can know that He will, and He will deliver and keep His promises, and He will be faithful because He demonstrated it in the cross when He sent His Son to die for your salvation. And it sealed the deal, and everything that He said is yours is now yours. So trust in it. So what does that mean? If I now go through affliction and I'm trusting in God, what's the fruit? What did Paul say the way that he behaved? Verse 12. There's fruit right there, right? Verse 12. With simplicity and sincerity. I mean, we're talking about behavior. That's fruit. So Paul says in verse 12, "For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God." Because he was trusting in God, because he was looking to God as the God of all comfort, not letting his affliction produce thorns, he trusted in God and he produced fruit. So Paul didn't say to the world, in front of the world, "I'm just having a bad day." That's not what Paul said. Paul said, "Yes, I'm going through afflictions, but I'm going to behave this way because I'm trusting in God." And so it was heart. Because of the trust in God, his heart. There's fruit. That's what we want, right? You want the world to look at you in the midst of affliction and go, "Man, there is something different. They are exactly like they are when their life is going good and they're living the same thing, trusting in the same Jesus, and they're still going and worshiping that God even in the midst of what they're going through right now." That's fruit. How did Paul respond to the Corinthians when they said, "Paul, why aren't you here?" Did Paul ream him out? Give him a piece of his mind? What did he do? He responded in grace, right? So here Paul is in the midst of all these afflictions. That's why he can't make it. And at Corinth, they're going, "Paul, where are you? Where are you? You haven't met our expectations." And Paul turns to them and says, "With grace and love, lots of afflictions. God was keeping me, preventing me. I want to be there. I desire. I love you." Not "How dare you? Don't you know who I am?" He responds with grace. He responds with love. Why? Because even in the midst of them questioning him, he is trusting in God. Okay? So then, in verse 20, I love this one. Don't miss this one. "For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why," so in other words, all these promises that we realize, right? "It is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory." Paul is uttering praises to God in the midst of his affliction. He's giving glory to God. Utter praise. That's not praise from a cow. He's worshiping. So I couldn't resist. Exactly. He's worshiping in the midst of his affliction. Why? Because God is the God of all comfort. Right. Okay, so then what are the consequences or the results of Paul doing this? Well, his ministry grows and the kingdom explodes. He comforts others, so comfort is multiplied. Did you notice that he said, "Now you comfort those"? The reason that you are comforted is why? So that you can go and comfort others. With the comfort that you received. Where did they receive it from? Paul. I mean, ultimately God, but God uses instruments. And so Paul is saying, listen, be comforted. He's a God of comfort. And so because he trusted and he did it, They were comforted. And then what happened? They could go and comfort others. So there's this result that continues down the line because Paul trusted in God. So ministry expanded. The gospel went to other places because of his affliction and because he trusted God. And others are comforted, or comfort multiplied would probably be a better way to do that. Others were comforted. What else do you think may have happened to that person who was experiencing affliction, maybe even persecution, and they thought back, I'm ready to give up, and I'm thinking back on Paul, and Paul says, I can trust in God because he's the God of all comfort. What do you think may have been their response in that moment? Encouraged. And so what did they do? They persevered. They stood firm in the faith. And so this comfort isn't just so that we can, I feel good. We're comforted so that we can continue with the gospel. And so I can imagine, even as we do, looking back, here is Paul, he's in these afflictions, and we look back at Paul's life, and he's writing to Corinth, and he's comforting them, and God ordained it that this would be in here so that we're comforted, so that in the midst of our affliction and persecution, we will stand firm, and the consequences of Paul's actions and trusting in God are even seeing fruit today. So we move from a heart of distrust, a heart of disbelief, a heart of wrong desires through the cross to a heart of right belief and right desires, the glory of God. I get to utter the glory of God in the midst of persecution and in the midst of affliction. That's a desire. That's a right desire. That changes your behavior. That produces much fruit. Yeah. All right, we're already over. I'm certainly not going to go to the next one and keep you tonight. Are there any questions? Because I know I was talking real fast. Any questions before we dismiss? We will receive, if y'all go ahead and start heading this way with the offering bags, we will receive the offering. But any questions before we? All right, so here is your homework. You go to Matthew and you try to do the same thing, all right? You go to Matthew 18, 21 through 35 and ask yourself, what's the servant's situation? Now, let me give you a little hint here. It's the servant who is forgiven and does not forgive. That's the servant that we're talking about there in that parable, okay? All right. We're going to pray and then we'll be dismissed. Hope you have a great rest of your week. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture, that you are a faithful God, a God who comforts. Thank you for those who wisely pulled out of your word this understanding of how you use our circumstances to change us, to show us the thorns, so that we're pressed towards the cross, and the cross brings heart change, and heart change brings behavior change, which brings glory to you because it produces fruits of righteousness. And so, Father, I pray that this week we would be gospel-centered in our lives. We use that term here. We throw it around. I pray that it would be part of not just this church, but the core of our being, of who we are. That we would be gospel-centered in our families, gospel-centered in our work, gospel-centered in how we watch TV, gospel-centered in the way that we respond to our spouse, gospel-centered in the way that we spend our money, in the way that we react as we drive around. Father, all to your glory and all to your praise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, don't forget, you got homework. Matthew 18. All right, don't wait till Tuesday. Right? I used to be a teacher. Why don't you have your homework? Well, last night, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, what about the rest of the six other days that you had, right? All right. And I promised you at the beginning, these books, we will bring them. So if you've been through this process, we will get you some books.